You got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, so let me understand this. So it's not a Kit Kat bar. It's what kind of a bar again?
It's a Klondike bar.
What would you do for a Klondike bar? Break me off a piece of a Kit Kat bar, and how do you eat your Reese's?
You know, I just can't take anything you say seriously today. Everything you say sounds like my Aunt Cookie after she had that stroke and had to drink through a straw for like 6 months. How you doing?
I'm getting a lot better. I can feel my legs again.
It's exactly what you sound like today. Okay, so, all right, a Klondike bar.
You making fun of the guy in pain.
I'm just saying, you're way over there. So a Klondike bar is what?
I don't know. I don't eat Klondike bars.
It's like making me say stuff.
My dad used to eat one before bedtime every night for like 30 years. It is vanilla ice cream with chocolate around all four sides of it.
So it's like an ice cream square.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a dilly bar without the bar.
Dilly bar. Yeah, baby. Represent the old school DQ.
It's all about DQ, baby.
Do they even have the dilly bar still?
They really do.
You know what? They don't have a DQ anymore. It's not like their food was... Did they advertise with us?
No, I don't think
occasionally they do, but I don't think they're on right
now. Let's be honest here. The Dairy Queen was never really good, like in the grand scheme of things. Like in the larger overall sense of food on planet Earth.
It's a teeny bopper hangout.
Yeah, Dairy Queen is not good. In the scheme of in the realm of all things, all foods that are fast, Dairy Queen's not so bad. Because they had some damn fine ice cream desserts when I was growing up. I mean, there's just no way I'm going to run headlong into this one because there's no other way to do it.
They weren't really a great burger joint, but they got the best treats around.
I got to embrace this one full on because there's no other way to do it. When I was a boy, Dairy Queen had this thing called the Hot Fudge Brownie Delight. It was $1.55.
They still have it.
No, they don't. Not at any DQ. See, now even I'm calling it DQ. Not at any Dairy Queen that I've been to in the last couple years.
Dairy Queen on Mill Plain up in Vancouver.
They've got the Hot Fudge Brownie Delight.
Still does the Hot Fudge Brownie Delight. It's not on the menu, but they'll still make it.
They also still do the
Peanut Buster Parfait.
Yeah, I can't get with that. That was my mom's.
See,
to this day, this is how early, like, childhood things get ingrained into you. That I cannot eat a Peanut Buster Parfait because in my mind, I'm perfectly well that this is just one of my hang-ups. I gotta spit out this sucrette. It's numbing my tongue. Hold on. All right. Losing my speaking ability again.
Yeah, I know. It's real fetch when that happens.
Yeah. I forget what I've been talking about.
Peanut Buster Parfait, your mom.
Here's the thing, and I know that this is inaccurate. This is just the personal stamp of my own neuroses that I put on it. But to me, the Peanut Buster Parfait is a woman's item. Because my mom always got it from a very early age. We would go to Dairy Queen, my mom would get the Peanut Buster Parfait. And so, from my point of view, it's something I associate with being a woman. And so I got this weird guy hang-up that won't let me order it. Not that I go to Dairy Queen all the time, though, anyway. But I'm just saying, when I went, it was all about the Hot Fudge Brownie Delight. Seemed like a man's treat. Not so much now. But the hell am I talking about?
They do one of those at Baskin Robbins, too.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. But it's not really as good because it's not the soft serve.
You know what Baskin Robbins had, though, was that bubblegum ice cream? You want to talk about something that's just completely useless and bad, but you ordered it anyway when you were a kid? Because bubblegum ice cream, that was like the first ice cream to have crap in it. See, now, the kids don't know this now, that all the ice creams that I have stuff in them...
No,
but that doesn't really count.
Rocky Road's been around forever.
No, but those were things that belonged in ice cream anyway. Chocolate, maybe a little marshmallow. I'm talking about taking a thing that's wholly separate from ice cream, like bubble gum, jamming it in there. It's like with the chocolate chip cookie dough. That's what really set the stage for the ice cream filled with crap world we live in now. And I say crap in the best possible sense. This is the dumbest conversation we've ever had. But just to clarify, you don't walk a mile for a Klondike bar?
You can walk a mile for... Some walk a mile for a Klondike bar.
That's what they did. I thought people walked a mile for a Klondike bar.
I'd walk a mile for a Klondike bar. Other people will do other things.
All right, it's all very confusing.
And they also get great sensations when eating York peppermint patties.
Okay. We got more coming up, including the top five. And later on, Richard Numb from the WB will join us. This is Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
107, Tim Riley with news, brought to you by Radio Shack. This Friday and Saturday only, get great deals on holiday gifts at Radio Shack. It's 48 hours and some of the best savings ever, so don't miss it. Tomorrow and Saturday only at Radio Shack. A bill to create the Federal Department of Homeland Security will limit the legal rights of several Oregon families. An attorney for the families says they have sued the makers of Damerasil, a mercury-containing preservative once added to some childhood vaccines. The lawsuits allege that this drug caused some children to develop autism or related nervous diseases.
And this is part of the thing that even if you were already in the process of suing, even if you were already in court, this bill negates your ability to sue over a vaccine or an inoculation that, like, killed your kid or gave him some weird disease or something.
Now, the biggest manufacturer of this is Indianapolis-based Eli Lilly and Company. Attorneys note that the Bush administration has several close ties with this company, further blurring the line between corporate power and government control.
There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide, and Exxon.
And don't forget Clear Channel and, Quest.
I didn't say that. I'm seconding it, though.
Three 14-year-old boys were in trouble after a school janitor found an improvised explosive device they put on the former elementary school roof. The students at the Irving Elementary School District say they had to evacuate because it wasn't far from the classrooms. A school employee caught the boys setting off illegal fireworks on the roof Thursday night. The next morning, the janitor found the device when he went up to the roof to clean up the mess that the kids left.
You know, the thing is, I just shudder to think of what would happen to me now. I am so lucky that I'm not a teenager right now. I mean, I didn't enjoy being a teenager anyway, because being a... This is not my phrase, but it is true, that really, being a teenager is less fun than being dead sometimes, I think. It's like, you know, you wake up every day, and it's just like having your skin flayed, you know what I mean? You just wake up, and you're a 14-year-old boy. Here's my impression of me as a 14-year-old boy every day, when the alarm clock goes off. Ring. You know, just every day. It was just another day of being some retarded, hideous, hormone-addled, like, acne-covered, none of which has changed, by the way. But at least now I can buy pornography and strong liquor. You can't even do that when you're a teenager, especially not now. But I shudder to think of what would have happened to me. If I was in school now, they would have put me away so long ago. Not even necessarily in prison, but I'd be one of those happy homes somewhere. There's no way they'd have me walking the street these days. And I was blowing stuff up all the time. I'm old school blowing stuff up randomly. It's what you do when you're a teenage boy. It's just a genetic imperative.
Well, these boys are probably scratching their heads over what they've been charged with, which includes manufacturer of a destructive device, possession of a destructive device, a conspiracy to commit first-degree arson, and second-degree criminal trespass. Huh?
Jesus, God. You know, when you're a teenage boy, you are a destructive device. You know what I mean? It's like that thing about Tyson's hands being dangerous, you know, the lethal weapons. 14-year-old boys are lethal weapons. It just comes with the pubic hair.
Did you ever blow up mailboxes?
Oh, well, no, because that's a federal crime.
Yeah, I realize that would have been...
I have a friend of mine who used to play a little mailbox baseball, though.
No, not mailbox baseball.
I never blew him up, though, because that's metal shrapnel you're dealing with there, and that was on a whole different plane I wasn't going to be playing on.
Yeah, a friend of mine used to do the dry ice bombs in 2-liter bottles.
I don't know how to do that. How do you do that?
Just
maybe we should put it on the website.
We just use explosives. Does your dad have gunpowder?
No, yeah. it's just dry ice and about like a third of a 2-liter bottle full of water and pack a bunch of dry ice in there.
Oh, and then it expands so rapidly. What's the timing on that, though? From when the time you shake it, seal it, put it in, what's the time until it blows? Kids, don't do this.
Really about 45 seconds, less than 60 seconds, depending on how much water and how much ice.
We used to do the vinegar and baking soda bombs.
Yeah, same idea.
It's a variation on a theme there.
But it'll open a... I've heard it'll open a mailbox like a tuna can.
Yeah, baby. Ugh. All right.
Well, firefighters say a hero dog saved its owner from serious injury or worse this morning after barking to warn her that her mobile home was on fire. The woman is in her 70s, was awakened shortly before 3 o'clock by the dog's barking. She escaped the flames with the dog and her 3 geese. $175,000 damage to a mobile home. I think that's inflated. Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon, mostly cloudy skies, highs about 60. A slight chance of light rain tonight, We had a couple nice days, we knew it had to end. Lows in the mid to upper 40s, and then tomorrow patchy fog, sunny by the afternoon, highs mid 50s. Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com.
All right, we're going to talk to Tim here in a second, but I got to tell you, my friend Judd, and this really is a friend of mine, my friend Judd, he played the mailbox baseball, and like, but the thing is, he was weirdly determined about it, that like... for him, the object wasn't, like, for most boys, mailbox baseball, which, you, again, you shouldn't play, kids, because it's wrong.
Uncle Rick says no.
But when you're hitting, the mailbox baseball is not about detaching the mailbox from the post for most kids. It's about hitting stuff and breaking things. Because, well, Mark, bookmark that. We'll come back to it. Timothy in Portland, you're a full-time listener, as is your wont. What do you got there?
Great segue. Sports and Google, where are we
going? Dude, I'm the Segway king. I'm a Segway like I was going 12 miles an hour.
Okay, well, the Iraqi national pastime of tossing the dead goat from one side to the other.
Yes.
I was hoping, since my Google and AOL is down right now, and you were talking about Geraldo. See, I'm a graphic artist, and I'm doing a cartoon with Geraldo, working on a PETA-related war correspondent story for Fox News, where he's liberated an Iraqi goat from one of their favorite pastimes. And I don't know the name of the game.
Yeah, well, we've all got our crosses, to be a friend.
I figured, Tim, you would know.
I got it somewhere, but not, like, right in front of me, because not a freak. So I got it somewhere. You drop me an email, I'll send it to you.
I will do that.
Yeah, drop me an email, I'll hook you up.
You guys have a good day.
All right, there you go. You have a good day now. It's Timothy in Portland. The hell was I talking about? Blowing stuff up. Here's the thing. I don't get into the whole thing here, but it's like, because, and we get later on, remind me, note this up, we're going to bring Jolie on. I don't know, later, like after the top five or something, to see if you, to formalize this business. Because we've already got these people wanting to know if they can ask questions about how chicks think. Because we were floating this question the other day about the George Clooney's ass. And then before that, it was something about buying my girlfriend something for her birthday. Because I'm a guy. I don't have a, you know, I'm just going to buy her like a, you know, like a, like drill bits or something. You know, if it's left to, if it's left up to me, she's going to get a vice. You know what I mean? What's this? It's a gift certificate to Craftsman.com. It's a Leatherman set.
A damn fine gift, Craftsman.com.
Well, yeah, but chicks, come on. but chicks don't appreciate that. They, if it doesn't smell like lilacs, like if literally if they made like some sort of a like a hacksaw kit that doubled as like a like one of those sachets or whatever it is you put in like your underwear drawer and make yourself smell like lavender, the chicks would buy that. What's this? Well, it's a hammer that can also be used to tenderize garlic, and it spritzes, you know, perfume somewhere. They totally buy that. The hell am I talking about? Oh, but anyway, so since we're going to bring back, I think, or not bring back, but institute this business of how chicks think, let me give you a little insight into how guys think. Women wonder, I think, sometimes why guys are so violent. Why guys, especially teenage or teenage-minded, see, your humble narrator, boys, why they're so violent? Because it's like, you know, Saturday night comes along and, you know, it's like that hand turns into a fist for a lot of guys, and women don't know why that is. I'll tell you what it is. I was thinking about this last night, actually. That violence for guys is a form of, as Sammy Hagar would call it, mental masturbation. By which I mean, you think about this, and it makes sense really if you logically think about it. It explains why guys are so violent. Why, you know, what, and I'm trying to gross anybody out, but you think about this clinically. So what is masturbation? Well, masturbation is a physical sexual release when you do not have a sexual partner for whatever reason. You know, either you're single or you're in prison or you banged your wife 9,000 times and you're sick to the teeth of it. Whatever it is, you just don't have a sexual partner to your liking, and so masturbation is a physical release of sexual desire so you can, like, get on with watching SportsCenter or whatever. It's the same thing with violence. Because of the way men are, because men traditionally in evolution are hunter-gatherers, when something goes wrong, when something is going wrong in your life, and it's like there's a problem or there's something, especially when it's a problem that is sort of amorphous, it's something you can't actually get your hands on, because of the way that I think primitive man evolved, the only dangers you would ever have would be literal dangers that are right there in front of you. Mastodon trampling on your hut. That's a physical danger. You can go beat that mastodon's ass. Or try anyway. Some guy from a neighboring tribe dragging your woman off by the hair, go thump on him. Now in modern days, you can't do that sort of a thing, but the instinct, the primordial urge to put a face to your enemy is still there. And so what happens is when guys are pissed off because they didn't get the promotion at work or they canceled sports night or something, what happens is guys project those feelings onto an inanimate object, which then represents a proxy for the enemy. I'll put this in actual practical application for you. You know what I mean? That girl who was going to come over and, you know, and you know, give you like give you the great hot oil rub down or whatever. Mom's in town, or you know, she's dead or something. She can't come over. Guys immediately are angry. The girl actually isn't there to be angry at, so they project the anger onto a bookcase, which they then push over and destroy. And that is like, it's a proxy. The bookcase, or when guy, you ever see guys punch a wall? I've never done that, but I used to live with a guy named John punching walls all the time. You go over the house, holes all the way down the staircase. The wall is a proxy. It's a stand-in for the thing or person or situation that you actually want to be beating senseless. So violence is a form of mental masturbation, but instead of relieving sexual tension, it relieves anger. These are the things I do. This is why I can't go to sleep. I sit there and I just think about crap. These are the things I come up with. But you know what? I think I could sell that to some Margaret Mead bastard. I could be selling this to some Masters and Johnson group or something. Some Kinsey study. They'd buy this observation from me because I'm telling you I'm right about this. I'm dead on about that.
You probably ought to check in the back of the Mercury. Somebody else is probably already making a video of it.
Shut up. Shut up. You're a dick. You're just a big, huge bastard is what you are. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. Check in the back of the Mercury. See if there's... I bet I could probably find a lot of guys can't speak properly when I'm being on radio. I don't really know that that's a narrow field, my friend. All right. More on the way. Don't go anywhere. Top five coming up. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955. Oh, and someone, because you know I'm always trying to be correct with the cultural allusions, the pop culture references. Somebody corrected my Christian Slater quote. It's not being a teenage boy, it's being young. In Pump Up the Volume. That's that phrase when he says, sometimes, I can't do the scratchy voice, but he goes, sometimes being young is less fun than being dead. I guess it's not teenage boy, I guess he says young. I have nothing. This is, see, other people worry that, like, as they age, they're going to lose control of their bowels. Or, you know, they won't know where the car keys are. They'll, like, leave the radon spigot turned on in their basement or something. I worry about not being able to reference Tommy Boy correctly. Trey and I were just talking about this the other day. That right now, I'm saying just by dint of my age and the fact that I'm a dork and I drink deep of the cup of pop culture, that I get probably 80% of the movie references that are made by the average person on the street. The average guy walking around saying, we're on a mission from God. And I'm like, yeah, Blues Brothers, 1980, Dan Aykroyd, you know, John Belushi, directed by John Landis. I can totally spot those. But as I age... It's like the scales of justice. As age goes up, the number, like the percentage of movie quotes I'm going to be able to identify, it's going to go down. And, you know, that's when you end up doing like an Ed Hume show. That's when you tune in and I'm doing Tradio. We've got a leather sofa here. If somebody would like to call up and bid, hello? That's when you end up doing like, you know, you sound like K-Pam. Is anyone listening? That's... It's just sad. We got this. This is not me writing this, by the way. This is from Jim. Rick, have you seen those Truth.com anti-drug commercials? They look like a remake of Reefer Madness. Please tell the kids to ignore them. I'm a 50-year-old man. Anyway, is that too old to listen to you? Hope not. F. Matt with a doobie.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
That's not my advice, kids. That's Jim, who signs his email, loving kisses. Let's see. We're going to get Ryan in a few and go to the house of Rick. Cody's a full-time listener in Portland. So with you, man.
I was talking about, like, you know, fighting. For guys, it's so much like masturbation.
Completely.
I mean, that first punch that you throw is just like, oh my God.
And the sense of release.
You just let loose. It's like primal fear. You're just out there.
After
you don't care what's going on.
After you have been in a fight with somebody or after you have broken some things or punched inanimate objects.
Nothing matters.
No, and it's like, it literally, you want like a cigarette and to like just to sit down in front of the TV. And you know, it's just, it's also like sex in that you want to call your friends and tell them about it.
Yeah.
You get in a fight, you want to call them. Because you just feel like it's like every weight has been lifted off your shoulder, much like you do in the moments immediately following the completion of the sex act. And you want to call up your friends. Dude, I just had the greatest fight. Let me tell you about this. This guy tried to swing on me, but he led with his right, and then I got him with a left. You know, and it's like, you just want to tell him every detail of it.
I used to be one of those wussy kids, like, you know, would, oh, we'll talk it out. I got in my first fight, like, 3 weeks ago. When the kid hit me, it was like I had an orgasm. I was just going, like, that really just happened.
Well,
what the hell just happened?
It's true. And you'll get these sort of you'll get these kind of spineless liberal guys in the media who will claim that there's no link between sex and violence. Those people are wrong.
Not true.
Those people are wrong. There's a reason that it's sexually frustrated men, often but not always teenagers, who get into fights. Somebody's getting laid all the time. They don't have the energy. They don't even have the motivation to get off the sofa. All they want to do is call, you know, like Cosmo.com for more Lubriderm. You know what I mean? That's all they need.
Pretty much.
Bring over some new sheets. All right, thanks. But it's like, and it's like, you know, Henry Rollins tells a great story about it. He said that, you know, that Mr. Hand turns into Mr. Fist on a Friday night as you're a, when you're a boy. It's true. It's completely true. How old are you, if I can ask?
15.
15. I can't encourage fighting, of course, because that's wrong and probably illegal.
Yeah, whole outlandish scheme that you
have. But I'm saying Uncle Rick understands you. All right, there you go. That's Cody.
Couldn't Cody be in school?
He really didn't sound like a 15-year-old.
That's okay. You age, listening to the show, it raises your mental age.
15.
You age preternaturally when you...
Were you that far ahead of the curve that you were listening to a show like this at 15?
Well, but no, but that's only because this kind of show wasn't available. I mean, it's like, again, not to sit here and wax my carrot, but I when I was growing up, if I'd had a show like this, or, you know, even like Loveline or something, I would have, but I didn't. I had, you know what I had? Larry King. That's what I had to listen to when I was growing up. At me, my mom has a picture somewhere of me laying in bed, about 11 years old, Walkman on my head, listening to Larry King. And that's what I would do. That was the only talk radio we had. We didn't have Rush Limbaugh. We didn't have any stuff like that. Didn't have Howard, obviously. Growing up as a kid, no Imus. I had Larry King. Let me talk to you about Ginsana. Back when Larry King said, Larry King, people don't know this. Larry King's gotten all nice now. Larry King used to be big dick. Used to be big bastard. You used to listen to Larry King's radio show on the Mutual Broadcasting Network. And here's how every Larry King conversation went. Tuskegee, you're on the air. Hi, Larry. I just want to say that, what's your question? Well, I have two questions for Mr. Blevitt. No, one question. What is it? And it's like, if you didn't have the question, like 3 seconds, Larry King was like, okay, next call, Montezuma, you know, or whatever the hell he was going to. Montezuma, not really so much a place as it is a person. You get the gist of what I'm saying, though.
We understood that.
That's where that schooling would have paid off. Because I didn't know nothing about no education, no learning.
If you'd had some geography in your repartee,
yeah,
you would have known this.
Birth and babies is also knowledge that I do not have. It's 1-800-727-5955. We're going to go to the house of Rick in a moment. This is Ryan in the Coop. He's a full-time listener.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up with you, man?
Hey, I'm calling about the photo,
yes,
and the running red light. I got a picture of one that happened to me a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. They can see everybody in the car. I've took it to somebody for some advice.
Yeah.
And the first thing he said was, wow, look, your girlfriend's good looking.
Yeah, the advice is don't speed.
Yeah, because, no, they can point everybody out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt. And I haven't even seen the originals, which they allow you to go do. So.
No, and that's the thing. Look, I'm no friend of the man. I hate getting pulled over more than anybody, but it's like... You know, it's a game. It's back and forth. And the thing is, like, if you speed and you get busted, then you know what? They got you. And if you can go to court and weasel out of it, that's fine. But it's dumb to protest the picture because that just makes you look like a dick.
Right, right. No, I'm going to try. But they said, you know, pretty much you're out of luck.
You're screwed. There you go. That's Ryan. That's what I'm talking about. Let's see. We're going to go to Tony. He's at the Rick. Tony, what's up with you, man?
Hey, Rick. I was just going to bitch at you, but you kind of ruined it for me with that last comment.
About?
Well, because I was like, you know, one of the things I respect most about you is you're, you know, you always, you know, hey, put it to the man, stick it to the man.
I'm all for sticking it to the man.
Well, I know, but you're all like, you know, you should pay this ticket or somebody in your family needs to pay this ticket. And I was just going to say, hey, if you can weasel out of it, weasel out of it.
No, no, no. If you can weasel, my friend, weasel. But what I'm saying is it seems like you're fighting a losing battle if your whole take is that's not a picture of me.
Well, yeah,
because you're just not going to win.
It was all blurred and you couldn't see you or something like that. It sounded like this guy was cold.
Well, if it's somebody with a bag on their head, then I guess you can fight it. But I mean,
it's unknown.
I'm just saying practically, you go in and you bring that crap to the judge, he's going to kick you in the head.
Yeah.
And
he's probably going to raise the fine instead of lowering it.
Yeah, no, he's just going to come in and say, okay, that's $200 for the ticket, $300 for being a jag-off, you know, for wasting my time. That's Tony. It's 1-800-727-5955. Top five in just a few here. In the PDX, it's the GABE. Gabe,
how are you doing, Rick?
How you doing, man? What do you got?
I actually just went to court on a photo radar.
Yeah.
And the judge asked me how I wanted to plead, innocent or guilty, and I started cracking up in the courtroom. I mean, I didn't have a choice, you know. And I go, do you really want me to plead not guilty?
Because then he's going
to
laugh.
Yeah, and he, you know, what am I supposed to do, plead not guilty?
Yeah.
And it even made it worse that I was coming to work at 6:30 in the morning, and I had pillow head all over the place, and I was all hung over, you know.
Exactly.
So, Oh, I mean, it was a great picture. I'll send it to you. I downloaded it onto my computer.
There ought to be some website that's just pictures of, like, photo radar art.
Oh, there should be. It's a wonderful picture.
Excellent. There you go. That's Gabe. I always plead, help me. Plead, help me. That's a dumb joke, but it was just sitting there, and it's like every so often you got to hit a grounder. You know what I mean? They can't all be Fenway Park where you're hitting out the thing. That's the deal.
What is it with you and the sports analogy?
I'm just trying to play the game I know I can play. Trying to give 110%. I like to thank Jesus.
Why are you continuing with the sports analogies?
I don't know. I'm a pinhead. It's 1-800-727-5955. Downtown. It's Tim, full-time listener. What's up with you?
Yeah, Rick, this in no way ties in, but I was thinking about something. I've been thinking about it for literally a month, and you started screaming out city names like Larry King. I had to call.
Yeah.
Burlingame.
Yeah.
The Burlingame. Is that, what is it? Is it a city? Is it a suburb? Is it a province? Does it have a governing body?
No, it's a suburb, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, I don't know what to compare it to. Isn't it like Selwood, or is Selwood a city?
Well, I think Selwood's a city, because I think there's a mayor of Selwood.
Is that true, Matt?
I have no idea. I know Selwood's like an area of Portland. I don't know if it's got its own, you know.
I don't know what Burlingame is. I thought it was a suburb. I didn't think it was a city.
It's kind of like Selwood in so much that it's like an area, you know. It's not like where like a lower Beaverton or something or a little bit further out as a suburb.
Does it have imports, exports? I mean, it's useless. There's nothing there, and it upsets me. There's a Fred Meyers, and now I'm mad. Oh, I got to go.
All right. Dude, you want to be a talk show host? You've got what it takes. Find something small, minuscule, and completely unimportant, and work yourself into a frothy lather over it. Radio success and small, uninspiring paychecks can be yours. That's what I'm talking about. Did you hear that? The Burlingame is pissing me off. That's the spark we look for, my friend. Yeah, baby. All right.
You're representing out there, yeah.
All right, let's see. I got it. Well, okay. I've no. Okay, we got to do a thing, but we're gonna get these NFL. We got the more House of Rick stuff that we'll. We got hot House of Rick action that we'll go through here in just a short while. This, however, is that thing that we call the five, which is also at the top.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
Who told you... Oh, wait, hold on, I gotta... Who told you you were fit to work with men? You fairy, you company man. You are here to help us, not to F us up. Does that seem clear to you? I got the mannerisms. I can't do the voice. I can't ever do voices like Clyde can do them or Henry can do them. I can do mannerisms, though. Like, you know, the mannerism I can do pretty well is that Smallville in a world guy in an outpost on the edge of space. Because with that guy, it's all about the drawn-out A's. Because he goes, tonight, on an all-new Smallville. It's all drawn out the vowel sounds with that guy. With Tim, though, it's all about saying it's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
And these are the top five albums of the country as of today, November 21st, 2002. Number five is Pearl Jam with Riot Act.
Born and I know that I'll die.
I know the E joke is there, but you can't hold it against these guys. They sort of created that. I gotta tell you, I like Pearl Jam. I really do. I know people think that I don't like anything that comes from Seattle, but first of all, Eddie Vedder's not from Seattle. And secondly, Pearl Jam's a great rock band. They really are. They're a great, almost classic rock sounding. And it's good to see them debuting in the top five. I have total respect for Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam, I'll be honest, I own all their records. I haven't got their first three, like most people. I stopped after Vitalogy. I have a couple singles off Yield. I have complete and utter respect for Pearl Jam. Because, you know, here's the thing about Pearl Jam is Pearl Jam walks the talk. You know, they complained about being MTV stars, and then they quit making videos. They made one video in, like, the last 10 years, and it was animated by Todd McFarlane. It was for Do the Evolution. Great video, by the way. And that's only because they weren't in it. They agreed not to be in the video. They bitched about videos. They quit making them.
You know, they bitched about being pop stars. They quit releasing singles. Quit writing singles, I think, from the sound of it. And plus, you got to love a band that put out 25 bootleg albums simultaneously last year. That's what I'm talking about.
I had lunch with Eddie Vedder once.
You're kidding me.
No, really, I did.
Like, when lunch? Was it lunch like where you were in the same state? Or
like I was sitting at the same table with Eddie Vedder and Neil Young having lunch.
Get off it. What are you talking
about? Swear to God, when I used to do catering for Jake's,
yeah.
Eddie Vedder and Neil Young and Blind Melon were all playing over at Portland Meadows.
Uh-huh.
And I was backstage actually cooking for the bands and had done most all the guys, and Eddie Vedder and Neil Young came up and got their lunch, and then
excellent.
There was like nobody else, and they were like, hey, why don't you come on and sit down with us? So I walked over and I said, Eddie Vedder is the coolest guy. He's like the perfect rock star.
So they offered to smoke out with you?
Really, they did.
Yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about. I won't ask you whether you did that. But
they were just like really cool, really mellow, laid-back guys. So I had lunch with Eddie Vedder and Neil Young.
Eddie Vedder, I love that guy.
Guy number four is Justin Timberlake and Justified.
From no pop to nothing but.
As much as I don't like this song, and I really don't, Neptunes or not, it's not a good song. But I will tell you, at the risk of sounding like a big pussy, there's a song on this record that somebody played me, and it's called Cry Me a River. And it's kind of this downbeat electronica shuffle. But the great thing about this Cry Me a River song, which is not this song, the great thing about Cry Me a River is it's this big F.U. song to Britney. If nothing else, go listen to that song. Go find this on Cry Me a River, because it's a big middle finger to Britney Spears. Yeah, it's like a big...
Sounds like Britney Spears. Like male Britney Spears. Sounds like that sex song she did with the moaning in the back. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, that one.
Britney I'm a slave for you.
Yeah.
That's the one.
It's got a cool video and all. It's kind of got that Michael Jackson energy going on, but I just don't like the song. It's got that weird Latin flavor that I just can't get with. I know everybody, we all took some secret ballot that we were going to like Latin music. I did not. I abstained. I don't like it. No, sir. I don't like it.
Oh, best part about the song is the solo by Clips.
Yeah, well, this is featuring Clips. Let's smack that guy. Okay, you just want to be... Yeah, Larry.
Number three is Misty, Misdemeanor.
Oh, Urban.
Elliot, Under Construction.
See, this is an actual female hip-hop star, not like Queen freaking Latifah. The sad thing about calling Queen Latifah a hip-hop star is it sort of fills the gap in a way. And so until Missy Elliott came along, like, there really were no hip-hop stars that were female. There was, like, TLC and stuff, but that didn't really count because they're more R&B. I think Missy Elliott is the first true crossover hip-hop star. Because, like, Yo-Yo and all that crap in the 80s, that didn't count. And, like, Michelle Lay. Remember
Come on, MC Light?
MC Light.
Come on.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it's like whenever VH1 does those top 100 women in rock. And it's like, and they have to make the definition so broad because there aren't 100 women in rock, like, anywhere. Not since the beginning of time have there been 100 women in rock that are worth mentioning. So they have to broaden it to include, like, Aretha Franklin. Like, suddenly rock has to be, like, Whitney Houston. Because otherwise it would be a list of three people. You know, it'd be Joan Jett and Adonis and, like, Kelly Deal and Kim Deal and, like, L7, and that'd be it. Yeah, okay, this is almost immediately irritating.
Number two, the soundtrack to 8 Mile.
That's what I'm talking about. We were just talking about this last night, about whether the soundtrack is any of the freestyle stuff.
The battle scenes from the movie, I want to know if they're on the soundtrack so I know whether or not I'm going to buy it.
Great little piano line in the back of it. See, I mean, this song, in and of itself, right here, this song should be the final shutting of the mouth of anybody who persists in this claim that hip-hop, that rap is not music. It's got everything. This has got melody. This has got meter. I mean, it's got everything. All the elements of music are present in the song. Lonely Rose God only knows his grandfather from home. He's no father. He goes home and barely
It doesn't sound like that's in harmony. Harmony's not one of the elements of music. Harmony requires a second voice, doesn't it?
True. I'm just saying. He said all of the elements of music. Just saying, it doesn't have any harmony.
Yeah.
But it's a solo, so.
Yeah. Got some good rhymes in it, too.
Who was that?
Oh, that was me. Tim.
Oh, sorry.
That's what we were saying last night. Eminem's the only guy that can take 8 beats of music and put like 37 rhymes in it.
He calls that, I read an interview with him, he calls it the inside rhyme. It's where you don't just rhyme the last word of the sentence the way most rappers do. He rhymes inside the sentence. This is such a great song. Lifetime, yo. I remind me to hook you up with those Eminem Everlast songs. Remind me to hook you up with those.
Number one is Jay-Z, The Blueprint 2, The Gift and the Curse.
I was talking to Ian about this morning. I don't really like Jay-Z as a rhymer. I mean, he writes well. He's a good lyricist, but he's just got a bad flow. I can't get with his lyrical delivery. I mean, his records are produced really well, and God love him all his success, but he doesn't do anything for me flow-wise. He's got nothing. Is there really a need for anybody in hip-hop to say, ho, ho, ho? And weren't the BC Boys doing that about 20 years ago?
Yeah, the Blueprint 2, homie.
Or is he being retro?
Right. Have you heard the song with him and Beyonce Knowles?
Is that the Bonnie and Clyde 2003?
Yeah.
I have not.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah. I don't really think against him. I know it's horrible to say that, but Jay-Z's just really generic to me. There's nothing really... It's like one of the best lines in 8 Mile is when Eminem's battling that guy and he says he refers to him as being generic. I forget who he compares him to. But he, like a Method Man or somebody. But he said you're like a generic, like Red Man or somebody. And Jay-Z is just really generic to me. There's nothing interesting or different about him to me. That's just me, though. That's just the cracker opinion. And now for the cracker's final thought. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson Show.
I had work being purchased. It was clear I was out to sell it. Hope for the spirit was stopped.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
To join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
That's what I'm talking about here. All right, it's 1-800-727-5955. Go to the house of Rick here in a moment. And what a strange little phrase that is. You know, if you told me a couple years ago, you're going to be talking about the house of Rick all the time, I'd be, the hell is that? It's no wonder people, you know, the hell we're talking about when we say that. Also, Diana in a moment. Is this Jolie? Let's welcome our good friend Jolie from the front desk.
Hey, I like that music.
How you? Yes, well, I aim to please. Pleasing Jolie is the top. It's the toppermost in my mind every day.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Hey, so we got a lot of response. We had you on yesterday. Was it yesterday we were talking about the ass and that ass with George Clooney?
And who's that Joe? What did that Joe say? I didn't get to hear the whole thing.
Joe where?
I wanted some little response. Joe from Vancouver. He was kind of mad.
No, he was high.
Oh, right. Okay.
Joe was a little high is what Joe was. Here's what I'm thinking. I just had this thought that occurred to us. So what we ought to do is, would you be cool with, like, doing a... Because you can give us insights into, like, the female mind. Because the female mind is just like this morass. It's like this Vietnam of conflicting and contradictory thoughts and impulses. And men trying to understand how a woman thinks. It's like you feel like you're Charlie Sheen with a machete looking for, you know, just... like hacking your way through the undergrowth.
Yeah, we are very complex sometimes, aren't we?
And if you could... Much like a computer, that's great if you could only get it to work, but other times you just want to throw it out of the goddamn window because you can't figure out how to make it operate correctly. So, I mean, if you could be here to clarify things, it'd be a lot easier to sleep with, to treat women well. to understand, you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
All right, so you can help clarify. And we floated the idea yesterday, and we got like 70 emails. Dude, I don't understand my girlfriend at all. Can Jolie help me understand what the hell is going on inside her brain?
You got seven?
Well, we got many. I don't know how many. We got guys. I'm not alone.
Okay, I'm good with that.
All right, excellent. It's not just me. I'm not the only one who's wandering around like Diogenes, you know, with never mind. Diogenes jokes never go over well. Anyway, we got more on the way, including Diana and the House of Rick. And later on, Richard Nunn from the WB. See, he doesn't understand how women think either. I guarantee. We got more on the way. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there, yo.